Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, inshallah, just to continue with our seerah series that we started, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan. And so we've covered many different sections of the seerah, the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also the years thereafter. And inshallah, we have reached around when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is very close towards receiving the first revelation, wahi. So we are now touching into the late 30s of the age of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when he was around 37, 38, 39 years of age, and when he was 40, alhamdulillah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given nabuwat. And so we need to have in mind and this understanding that this inception, starting point of revelation is considered to be one of the most important events in human history. Why? Because the last Nabi was awaited for, and every Nabi gave prophecy of the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it has been around nearly 6 centuries for the revelation between Isa alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so nearly after 600 years, for the first time, officially Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam will bring down the hukam and the commands of Allah, the glorious speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that too also the greatest kitab, which is Qur'an-i Kareem, which has been preserved in Lawh-e Mahfuz. And so in the last 2 to 3 years before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned 40 years of age, the environment in Arabia and around Arabia was such that people were waiting for something. And there was this indication that something great is going to happen very, very soon. And this already started by the people who were considered to be very powerful in Arabia. And they were the poets and also the fortune tellers, the soothsayers, kahin. So they were considered to be very, very powerful people. And the reason why they were considered to be extremely powerful, because the Arabs were very, very superstitious-minded people. And they had jinns that the jinns would work for the soothsayers and the kahins. So they were shayateen. And these jinns had access at that time to actually go up very high in the skies. And it is with Allah's permission that they could even sometimes catch that link and communication between the angels that are transmitting information to the angels of this dunya. And they would sometimes listen to it, because their creation is very different to the creation of insan. And so the Quran speaks of three very important makhluk creations of Allah. One is the jinns, and one is insan, and one is the malaika. And so insan has the ability to do good and evil. Malaika only do khair, they don't ever disobey Allah. The jinns also, amongst them are good jinns, and you also have the jinns that are kuffar and who have shar and evil inside them. And so what would happen is that they would come and they would work for the fortune tellers and the soothsayers. Just like nowadays you have people who are amils also. And amils are the people who will deal with jinns and things like that. But a person really has to be very, very careful going to an amil. Otherwise you will be lumbered and stuck with them for the rest of your life. And so I'm not saying they are all wrong, and I'm not saying they are all right, but Allah has given us the aqal, and we have to verify and we have to be very, very careful who that person is. Otherwise they can drive you in the wrong direction, because generally the jinns have a very different nature. So these are the jinns that are working now for the kahins, and they would give all the information. So they would say sometimes that this is the area where rain will fall, a son will be born to that person, this is what is going to happen, this is what is going to happen. And these fortune tellers then would tell the people, and they would think that these are people who give us information of the unseen. And this was not the case. So however, just before Wahi was about to start and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam's meeting face to face with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many changes occurred, including that the jinns were now slowly being blocked from penetrating the skies and the heavens very high. So they could not give a lot of information to the kahins, the soothsayers and the fortune tellers that were there. Every time they would want to go up, the malaika would pelt them with fire and would shoot at them, and they would have to come down again. So they found the skies to be very, very protected. So slowly things were really changing. And then when they came down, all the jinns had their meetings also, and they started to say that something is happening. Something is happening. And that is why all of them decided that very quickly we will go and scan the earth. So for them, moving from one part to another part is not very, very difficult, because that is how Allah has created them. And so khair, this also happened. In fact, it comes in the hadith of Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that once in Arabia, a very famous kahin, fortune teller, he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Makkah Mukarramah, and he said to him, O Nabi of Allah, I want to become a Muslim. And then he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will actually tell you the reason why I want to become a Muslim. And he said, I had so many jinns that were working for me, and from amongst the jinns, one came to me, one shaitan, And he said to me that, look, I am your well-wisher. Go to Makkah and accept the Nabuwat and the religion of so and so person who claims to be a Nabi after Isa alayhi salam. And he is on the right path. And so when he told me that, I understood that he is only the Nabi, that you are the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is why I have come here, so that I can accept Islam. So he accepted Islam at the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it also comes in the books of Tariq that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that after accepting Islam and taking me to be the Nabi of Allah, do the shayateen still come to you? Do the jinn still visit you? Because he was a kahin. So he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, no, they don't come to me now. The reason why they don't come to me, because even before coming to you, I had memorized some of the Quran ayats that were revealed to you, and I am in the habit of reciting the Quran all the time. And so because I recite the Quran all the time, they no longer come to me. Now this tells you something amazing, my respected brothers and elders. How powerful is the Quran? How powerful is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is why the Quran was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there will be no Nabi after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is going to be no wahi and no revelation after the Quran. So the Quran is a very, very special book. Allah has taken himself upon himself the responsibility to protect and to preserve the Quran. Just in this majlis, how many huffaz are sitting? How many people will have memorized the entire Quran? How many people are masters of the Quran? And you will see that nobody has ever memorized the Injil. Nobody has ever memorized the Torah. And no guarantee of the protection of the past scriptures was taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That responsibility was given to the people themselves. But as for the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the guarantee that all the time, with all the fitnas that are out there, you will never find two copies of the Quran that are different anywhere in the world. Mashallah. Maybe the recitation, the qiraat can be a bit different. And the reason for the qiraat to be a bit different is because there were many tribes in Arabia, and the Quran that was revealed and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read in front of them the Quran according to their lehja, according to their accent. So each tribe had a very different accent, and Allah's Nabi would read the Quran to them according to their accent, to their lehja. And they had memorized the Quran according to their lehja. But it was only later on that Hazrat Usman and the companions decided that this would be very difficult, and so it is better to have one recitation generally for the entire ummah. And so we don't have versions, and you see how the Quran is completely protected. Now what is the faida of the Quran? Not only the benefit of the Quran is that it is the currency of the hereafter. The Quran is the currency of the hereafter. If you are going to travel to Saudi Arabia, you will need riyals. You go to Dubai, you will need dirhams. Here you need pound. You go to America, you need dollars. In the hereafter, there's only one currency. As soon as you die, as soon as mort comes to you, only one currency will run, and that is your good deeds. So the highest form of zikrullah, the highest form of zikrullah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the recitation of the Quran. And so the recitation of the Quran is very, very powerful. So the more you are reading the Quran, the more rich you are becoming also in the hereafter. That is why a person should always get into the habit that every day at least I will assign this portion of the Quran to read. Always. And increase it slowly, slowly. So if you don't have time, then at least read one side, which is nothing. Or one quarter of the Quran. Or one half of the Quran. Not just your Yasin Sharif and your Surah Mulk and all the other, you know, the surahs that we read. Always have a portion that you have assigned and that you are moving forward and you are scanning through all the ayats of the Quran, because every ayat of the Quran will have its own barakah that will impact your life. And it is also the currency in the hereafter, but the scholars have mentioned it is also a protection for the people in this dunya. The Quran gives a person complete protection. This we need to remember, my respected brothers. Now, just to explain furthermore, especially in our community, we have two camps. One group of people, anything that happens to you, anything that happens, you will blame jadu, magic, sihr, amils, and the asar of shaitan. So anything that happens to you, who do we blame? The jinns and the shayateen. Or this person did jadu on me. This person did jadu on me. And we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Because sometimes what happens, the names of people are given to you in your family which are totally wrong, and then you begin to have enmity and grudge for that person without any clear proof for your entire life, because a jinn in his nature is a liar. A jinn in his nature is a liar, and they lie a lot. So you have to be very, very careful. So you have one group of people that anything that happens in the house, taviz karaya wo. Where do we go to? Taviz, this and that, this and that. So you have one group of people that only think that this has happened to me. I can't sleep in my house because maybe, you know what, the jinns have occupied the house, or this is happening. A lot of the times people think like that. And when you are thinking like that, then what happens? Then you can't actually get away and become happy in your life, because your mind is always drifting towards one side. And another group of people hit the other extreme. That in reality, maybe there is also some connection to sihr, magic, or even shaitan. But then what they say is that, no, we don't believe in this. Nothing of the sort. There is no proof. This is all just wahm and all these issues. So we should not believe in all these things. So you have another camp, another group of people that think like that. So in Islam, we have to bring things to moderation and to evaluate things in its right way. And only then, mashallah, we will know the right diagnosis. That what is the issue with this individual. Sometimes you will find that, you know, it might be, some chemical disorder in the mind. Maybe, you know, this person might be suffering from autism. Or maybe some psychological, you know, disorder, problem with this individual. Some people have a temperament. Some people's temperament is such that whatever I say is right. Whatever I say is right. And they don't want to listen to anybody else. So each people will have their own mizaj. And sometimes it might not be related to sihr. It might not be related to someone who is doing jadu to you. So a person really needs to be very, very careful. And so we are not saying that these things don't exist. But we should not be very quick to come to a conclusion that this is happening because of this. And so that is why the Quran is given to us as a form of protection. The truth is that very few people are in the habit of reading the Quran all the time regularly. And because of that, sometimes we are left very, very vulnerable. So a person should have a lot of Quran inside him. In fact, some of the scholars have mentioned if you can't become a hafiz of the Quran, then at least memorize Surah Yasin. At least memorize Surah Mulk. At least memorize certain ayats of the Quran and learn the translation. Some ayats of the Quran if you learn, and ayats that are going to help you in life, that you can reflect on these beautiful translations of the Quran. So you know this translation. Or sometimes you can read it in your own nawafil. And so when you are praying the Quran, because you've learned the translation, so mashallah, you actually know what you are reading. So a certain portion of the Quran should be in a person's heart. That is why, alhamdulillah, in the Indo-Pak community, especially in the Indo-Pak community, madrasa plays a very, very important role. And back in the days, what would happen is that if a child could not become a hafiz of the Quran, then he would be a hafiz of the last para. So the 30th para, they have to memorize completely with the other important surahs. Surah Waqia and other surahs. You have to know that. And so the Quran is a protection from the jinns, from magic, from every kind of evil. And then the scholars have mentioned, how does it protect you? Number one, the most important protection of a believer is his namaz. Is his namaz. Namaz is all Quran. When you are in Qiyam, it is Quran. So namaz is a very powerful exercise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure and guarantee that Allah's divine protection is with him. So namaz is something that is very, very important for a Muslim to make sure that he is always praying namaz. So salah, number one. Number two, the scholars have mentioned your protection, certain ayats of the Quran. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مُعَوَّذَتَيْنِ three times in the morning and three times after Maghrib before going to sleep. So mashallah, get into the habit of reading the مُعَوَّذَتَيْنِ. And if you feel that someone is doing something to you, or even that somebody has cast an evil eye onto you, nazar. So nazar is something that is also very, very dangerous. And people don't realize this, and it can actually cripple an individual. It can actually break a person and, you know, take away his health. So these things actually happen. So that is why these wazaif and Quran ayats are extremely important. But we take it for granted. Why do we take it for granted? Why? Why? Anybody know? Why do we take it for granted?
Because we are born Muslims.
We are born Muslims. Okay, but I'm looking for something else. Why? Because it is free. We don't value things that are free. If it comes out from your pocket, if it comes out from your pocket, that every time you have to read the Mu'awwazatain, every month £100 sadqah you have to give. If it came out from your pocket, then you will remember. But because Allah has made this free, accessible, for a person to have, sometimes because it is free, we don't value it. We don't take these ayats to be important. In fact, we'll take some medication to be more important, Aliyazubillah. So the Mu'awwadhatayn is very, very important. With that Ayatul Kursi, such a powerful protection, a person minimum should be reading Ayatul Kursi at least 5 times a day. At least 6 times a day. After every farz namaz and in the night. After every farz namaz and also in the night. And also when you lock your doors, your properties, whatever you own, read Ayatul Kursi and make dam over it. The more you read, the more protection Allah Pak gives you. Ajeeb. And so we are talking about wahi and revelation that is going to be opening very soon. For the first time after 600 years, after the departure of Isa alayhi salam, Jibreel did not come down with wahi. After 6 centuries, again, this link between Khaliq and Makhluk, this link between Khaliq and Makhluk is going to open up. This communication is going to open up. And so, the Quran is a very, very different kitab, my respected brothers and elders. It is the most powerful source for a person when it comes to giving the entire family community protection. So much so that it will protect you from the adab of Jahannam. It will protect you from the adab of Jahannam. How? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when a person dies, think about this, today we have a mattress. MashaAllah. Do you like a hard mattress or a soft mattress, Umar? Medium. Acha yaar, medium. Chalo. You have a mattress, you have, you know, MashaAllah, a fan if it's hot, central heating, beautiful cozy room, a carpet. You want the window to be, you know, at the right level. Everything, you know, your bedroom is your comfort zone, you enjoy it, you know, mashallah. Imagine the bedroom that we are going to live in is going to outlive our life. Wallahu alam, I don't know. Maybe. Allah hi ko pata, I don't know. You know. Allah knows when the day of Qiyamah will be. But not even a pillow is put under the janazah. Besides mitti. Can you imagine that? Soil. Soil is put under the neck. That person who was in the habit of sleeping on a comfortable pillow, no windows, no clothes, just your ihram, a white sheet, bas, wrapped up, enveloped, put down. And here we are chasing dunya, pagalo ki tarah. You know, this robotic life that we chase. But in reality, this room is reserved for everyone. And when are we going to go in that room? Nobody knows. Is room ka reservation to ho gaya? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to his companions and he said there is that one room which is the most important room in your life, and because of that Hazrat Usman in his entire life would cry. Hazrat Abu Bakr would cry. Can you imagine people like Abu Bakr would cry? Ajeeb, subhanallah. And why would they cry? Because of what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. That room is called qabr. And he says, innamal qabru rawdatu min riyazil jannah. that qabr will be transformed into Jannah, or Allah save us, hufratum min hufarin nar. It will be a pit from the fire of Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. So this is the Jahannam, that even before a person goes to Jannah and Allah save us from Jahannam, the introduction is already done. The introduction of it is in front of us. And by the day, the more birthdays we are celebrating, the more we are getting close to this bedroom. Aur wahan biwi bhi nahi aayegi sone ke liye. Koi biwi itni mohabbat karti hai, kehti hai ke don't worry, you know, you go, I will stay with you. Nobody does that. Nobody loves you so much that they will say, you know what, you're my best buddy, you're my husband, main teri ma hu, ma. Who is greater than ma? I am your father. Who is greater than father? Even your father, mother, your wife, your husband, your children, your best friends, the limit is only standing there, bas. Standing there. But then, greater than your mother, greater than your father, greater than all the friends in your lifetime, Allah's Nabi said, your best friend is your good deeds. Kamal. The Quran, zikrullah, namaz, hajj, umrah, speaking the truth, obeying Allah, following the sunnah, any of the good deeds. These are your real friends, real friends, your real friends. And a friend is that at the time of need he holds your hands. So these are your friends that will jump straight away down with you in the grave, and they will want to be buried with you. Hame to tumhare saath dafan ho jana hai. And subhanallah al-azim, Allah's Nabi is saying that in order to change this qabr, this bedroom, into a beautiful bedroom, a bedroom of Jannah, the Quran, you read one chapter of the Quran, Surah Mulk. Imagine if this is the power of one chapter of the Quran, Surah Mulk, is guaranteeing you that your qabr will be Jannah, then imagine the whole Quran. Imagine a person who's reading the Quran in sequence. If the barakat of one chapter that you read, this is the fawaid, faida. You see, each ayat of the Quran will give you benefit. Each ayat. Ajib. And that is why also, look, it even saves you from fitna. Allah save us. You know, the biggest trial will be when Dajjal comes. The real testing time of Iman. The real testing time of Iman. But Allah's Nabi said, you know, you read Surah Kahf, Allah will protect you from the fitna. If you can't read Surah Kahf, then read some opening ayats of Surah Kahf and ending ayats of Surah Kahf. At least even that much you can do. The first few ayats and the last few ayats. Read that. So the Quran overall, my respected brothers, the Quran and shaitan can never be together. So we need to understand that. Sometimes you will find that, mashallah, in a property, in a house, there are issues. But if you are reading a lot of Quran, there is nothing there. There is nothing there. Maybe now and then, you know, the shayateen can pass by, do this, do that. But in reality, you are really protected. So the more Quran you have, the more powerful you are. The more zikrullah you have, the more powerful you are. So that is why this wahi is about to open up and start, and will be given to the greatest Nabi. So a lot of preparation was actually done for this. Now how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare His Nabi for this very, very big event? This very important event. Now brothers will recall, we are now going towards when he was 38, 39 years of age. But when he was around 35 years of age, 36 years of age, another very important incident occurred in Makkah Mukarramah, and that is the renovation of Kaaba. Brothers, do you remember? We covered that, ne? Yeah. The renovation of the Kaaba. Now, this renovation of the Kaaba also had a lot of effect upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Had a lot of effect on him. Because he was the man chosen as an Amir to place Hajar-e-Aswad and all, everything that was there. All the maqams and the barakat of Ibrahim alayhi salam was there. But at the same time, what was very difficult for Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, whilst doing the renovation, when he saw that his people and his community are totally lost. That his own people are totally lost. When he saw that there are more than 300 idols in the Kaaba. Imagine the pain that must be given to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Aaj koi musalman ho na, to mandir mein agar tum chale jao, to breathe karna mushkil ho jaye. Sahi ya galat? Am I right or am I wrong? Look, I'm not disrespecting anybody else, but what I am trying to say, that as Muslims and we are connected to Haq, Quran, our Ruhaniyat, the Noor level is very, very different. Very different. Just like we'll find in sometimes in the Hindu community, if a Muslim is eating fish, they can't take it. They can't tolerate it. Hota hai na? Meat, fish bhi bhai. So anyway, we won't go into all that, picking and choosing right now, otherwise it will be too late. Now Allah's Nabi saw all these idols. You see, the more your heart is pure, clean, and alhamdulillah, completely protected, that means alhamdulillah, you are very close to nature. And if you are close to nature, you can't be a homosexual. Forgive me, you might be wondering why am I using these words. But our youth here are more clever and intelligent than everybody now. They know exactly what is happening in the world. But these are the things that we have to remind each other all the time. All the time, repetition now. That the more you are closer to fitrat, your innate condition, nature, the more you see Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, the more you see the messengers, the more you see the prophets, the more you are natural and your heart is clean, then anything that is illogical, that is against nature, against logic, it will be very hard for you to adjust to that environment. Sahi ya galat? Very simple. It's very difficult. There is a book that I was reading many, many years ago, La Tahzan. In Arabic, it's called La Tahzan. Don't be sad. I think it's in English now also, translated. Don't be sad. But originally, the works are in Arabic, La Tahzan, beautiful book. And these are real life accounts of people. So there was a man in Sudan, and who had never met any other people, you know, he was always in the Muslim community. So he met one Christian. So he met him and they were talking and he said to him that, you know, what is your religion? So he says, I'm a Christian. He says, Christian? So what do you believe in? He says, Jesus. He goes, but Jesus is the messenger of Allah. He goes, no, but we believe him to be the son of God. When he told him it is the son of God, he started vomiting. He started vomiting. His nature was so pure. You know, sometimes when foul smell comes to you, You can't take it and you want to puke, you know, you can't take it. Your stomach will not be adjusted, and if you eat something that your stomach can't take, you vomit it out. Subhanallah, his ruh was such that he found it incredible that a human being in this dunya, Allah gives him food, Allah gave him the body, Allah gave him everything, yet he wants to thank another human being, and that also Jesus. So he found it so strange that he started puking there. So he said to him, are you okay? Are you feeling well? He goes, no, I'm not feeling well because of your answer. Because of your answer. So the more pure you are, the more clean you are, you will never argue when somebody tells you what is right. You will never argue. A few days ago, alhamdulillah, I had this young lady of a Hindu background accepting Islam. Of a Hindu background accepting Islam. Just a few days ago. Subhanallah. And the reason for that is that nowadays you will find that people are quite intelligent also. People are quite intelligent. When the wrong things are being done, even if it is in your own house, it's quite hard for the intellect, for the mind to agree, unless the mind is corrupted. If your mind is corrupted, then so be it. To fir kuch nahi ho sakta. But if you are saved slightly, it cannot be that you live in this world without Iman and Islam. Deep in your heart, you will know that the best is only Iman and Islam. So Allah's Nabi, imagine his heart. Imagine how difficult it must have been for him to see that we are doing the construction of the Kaaba, renovation of the Kaaba, and these false gods are here. Imagine how this entire community had changed so rapidly, generation after generation, when the founder and the father of Makkah was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who is the father and the founder of Makkah? Bolo bhai. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ali Saud nahi. Ibrahim alayhi salam. The founder and the father of Makkah. The main person. The first person to go there. Ibrahim alayhi salam. All his children were Muslims. Subhanallah, Ismail alayhi salam, his children, Qabile, Jurhum, all these people. But imagine, subhanallah, when a person slightly is off guard. Slightly off guard. You know, sometimes shaitan will say, it's okay, yaar. Come on, you know, you got to compromise some things, you know. But you have to be careful. This compromise can be a heavy penalty. I don't know. Sometimes you have to compromise. But sometimes the shaitan can also trick you. A few days ago, I went to somebody whose child was giving difficulty to the parents. So the child said to me, Maulana Saab, my father and mother don't trust me. What? This is the lame excuse which I've got eczema in the ears now of hearing it. Not really, aise keh raha hu. Umar Saab, the way Umar dekhta hai na, main ghabra jata hu. Umar actually looks at me like this. Really, Mauli Saab? Sometimes you've just got to carry on, you know that. So I said to the young boy, I says, Beta, you are saying your father can't trust you. I am saying to you, I can't even trust myself. What am I saying to you? I can touch the Quran and you are saying, Mauli Saab, but I am telling you, I can't even trust myself. He didn't know what to say. I said, in this modern world that we live in, you only trust four. You only trust four. The two, without a doubt. In fact, if you have doubt, it's kufr. The other two, with certain conditions. Allah and His Rasul. Bas. Otherwise you can't trust nobody. How dare you say my father and mother don't trust? What have you shown them that they should trust you? How can you say, my parents don't trust me? All these germs and this kind of thinking is now coming into us because we live in this society. All these things. The new breed, brand of people. The first thing shaitan breaks from them is your ta'alluq with mother and father. Mother and father. Your dad don't trust you. Your mom don't trust you. Does she? Oh, really? You haven't even got a mobile phone? You haven't got access to this app? I can go anyway. I can go town. Oh, you can't go town. You can't go town. And this is the kind of language. But what you don't understand is how much your parents actually love you. Subhanallah al-Azim. So we have to be very, very careful. It's when it comes about trusting, you only trust who? Allah and His Rasul. Now for an example, you will have your wife. You will have your wife. And the most trustworthy person is your brother. What is it? Your brother. And you live in one house. Your heart is telling you that even if I leave 50,000 pounds to my brother, he will not, only Umar, Allah, today he's not had his breakfast. What? He will not steal. He will not steal because I trust my brother. Even if I leave something private to him, he will not steal. Why? Because I know my brother, I trust him 100%. What is my akal telling me? I should trust my brother. He's my blood. He's my blood. One father, one mother, my brother. If I can't trust my brother, who can I trust? Okay. I'm just talking about trust. Your akal is telling you about trust. You can trust him. Your mind is telling you, you can trust him. The people around you are saying, no problem, you can trust him. So now you say, it's okay, you know what, I'm going for a holiday. And there's nobody else living here, but my brother is living here. He's younger than me, but I can trust my wife with my brother to stay here. And she can cook food for my brother. And you know, they are one family, she don't need to go anywhere else. I trust my brother more than anybody else. Now, your akal is saying to trust. But the greatest akal is the Quran and Hadith. The greatest akal is the Quran and Hadith. So what is the greatest akal telling you? Can you trust? Can you trust? No. Allah and His Rasul is saying you can't trust. Your akal is saying you can trust. So please, don't talk about this trust issue here. This trust issue is just about being emotional and trying to put blame on the parents for no reason. Nobody can be trusted. When you can't trust yourself, when Yusuf alayhi salam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, I can't trust my own nafs. What did he say? I can't trust my own nafs. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. Nafs is your enemy. It only directs you to guna. I can't trust it. But the only way I am protected because my Lord has protected me. He has raham on me. Because he is the Nabi of Allah. What is he? He is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we were talking about the difficulty that Huzur Ali, when Allah's Nabi saw all these idols, it had great effect on his mind. And then after this, what had happened, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that he wants to be alone. You see, when a diamond has fallen into filth or something dirty, should you pick up that diamond or should you clean it by pouring water into the filth? What do you do? You take it out. When Allah's Nabi saw the filth that is in the community, he was affected. So he decided that, you know what, now I am going to move away. I am going to go away from this people. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then walked about 3 kilometers out of Makkah Mukarramah, thinking and contemplating that how has humanity drifted and how shaitan has turned them away from Allah and the teachings of Hanif Madhab, which was the Madhab of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And so as he was walking slowly, he decided he wants to go, and he started walking. Eventually he started ascending and climbing towards a mountain. And as he walked up to the mountain, he saw this small, you know, beautiful cave. This cave was not very big in size and not very small in size, but just enough for him to be alone and to sit inside and to contemplate and to detach himself from the wrong and the corruption that is out there, and to meditate and to think what can be done. And he found that sitting there made him very happy. Sitting there made him very, very happy. He was there, sitting there. And this mountain and this small little hole, which is Gare Hira, the cave. Have you been to Gare Hira? Have you seen the cave? You haven't seen the cave? The cave is not big at all, very small. So he was in the cave, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the cave, if you have a look at it, how it is, that you can't actually see someone directly if you look into the cave or towards that direction. But at the same time, you have a clear view, and Allah's Nabi's vision was very clear. This was the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Eyesights were very, very powerful. Mu'jiza. He could see the furthest star. Qadi Iyaz has mentioned this. No other human eye could see as far as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the lenses, the eyes that were given to Huzur alayhi salam. And not only could he see in front, and he said that I can see in the front, like how I can see in the front, that is how I can see at the back. Mu'jiza. I can see what I see in front, I can see. That is why at times he was about to say Allahu Akbar and start namaz, and he would again drop his hands to the side and say, Stow, safu sufufakum, stand straight. Why is it that your chest is forward? Why did you come forward? Get into the line. So he could actually see some movement at the back. So the ulama say this. So he could actually see Makkah Mukarramah Khanae Kaaba from where he was. And so he found his location to be a location where he found a lot of sukoon, because he wanted to break away from that culture. He wanted to break away from that level of shirk, from that level of kufr. And only when you break away, and then slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to receive this wahi. And it is said that Allah's Nabi generally would stay in the cave for a long period only in the month of Ramadan. And subhanallah, you see, that is why we also do i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. So although it was not calculated in that way, because Sharia was not completely formulated at that time as we have it today, but it is said that it was Ramadan that Allah's Nabi would spend a lot of time there. And for 2 Ramadans he was there. And the 3rd Ramadan is when, subhanallah, in the books of ahadith it comes, Babu Maja'a Bad'il Wahi, that a chapter on how the revelation started. And it comes in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as usual, would think and contemplate and turn to Allah in Gare Hira, Now all of a sudden, after 600 years of revelation being closed, for the first time it comes that Jibreel Amin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was a very unique experience. Here we see Bashar, you know, the greatest human being, meeting someone who is the greatest Malak. فَجَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ. And an angel came to him, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of a sudden, you know, saw this angel there, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, Iqra, read. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember, he was not formally educated in any madrasa or any institute as such. So he was unlettered in a sense that, like other people who could read and write. So he said, Ma ana biqari'in, you want me to read, but actually I'm not a person who can read. What you want me to read, I can't read like that. And then فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي. And Jibreel, grabbed Huzur alayhi salatu was salam. And ghatta would mean smothered him. And had covered Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Completely. He had covered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found it very difficult, the way he was covered by Jibreel Amin, that he said, I could not resist anymore. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I could not resist anymore. So let me first actually explain to you the words of ahadith of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam. Hatta balagha minni al-juhda. Until I found it quite difficult. Thumma arsalani. And then he left me. When he left me, and then it's like, you know what, someone's catching his breath. Now, Jibreel, imagine the power. Now let me explain to you that in the hadith it comes that before this experience of wahi, meeting Jibreel Amin, the condition was that Allah's Nabi would always see a dream and immediately that dream would come true. And he says that dream would come true like how you know that in the morning the sun will rise. So immediately he, whatever dream was shown to him, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see it immediately thereafter to happen. And that is why also in the Quran, especially nowadays, during the days of Hajj, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw a dream. Inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. I've seen you that I put a knife on your throat. And this was in a dream. So what is your opinion? Fanzur madha tara. So this was also wahi and this was also revelation. So now in the beginning, dreams were shown to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the wisdom that the first type of revelation to be given to Huzur alayhi salam was in a dream format? Is so that Allah's Nabi gets into the habit of trusting his own heart. You and I, we can't trust our heart. You and I, we can't trust ourselves. But Allah's Nabi is given the commander that vision and dreams were shown to him, so he gets into the habit of trusting his own heart. It was a reminder to him that Allah has secured and protected you and you are totally ma'soom, that nothing evil and nothing wrong can enter your heart. So try, always trust your heart, because he is the Nabi of the time. You see, his condition is very different to us, my respected brothers. So that is why Allah's Nabi was given ru'ya, dreams in the beginning. So he slowly gets into the habit of trusting his own. He starts to understand and he believes in himself that no, whatever I say is right, because I can only say what Allah wants me to say. And only that comes into my heart, what Allah wants to say. So understand this, my respected brothers and elders. And so now Jibreel Amin comes and slightly squeezes him for the first time, and he's finding it a bit difficult. But then he says, you know what, I just had to release myself and concede and give up, and you know, whatever he had to do, he had to do. But Jibreel Amin then left me. And then for the second time he said, Iqra. Allah's Nabi said, for the second time I said, Ma Nabi Qari'in. For the second time he squeezed me. And again the same thing happened to me. And then he released me, and then, you know, catching my breath again. For the third time he said, Iqra. And I said, Ma Nabi Qari'in. Now, the scholars here explain why did Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam go through this procedure of Jibreel Amin giving this hug to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, quite a tight hug. And so the scholars have mentioned the number one wisdom. There are so much here, mashallah, we will cover later on in our Durus program. But one also wisdom here is the fact that it is a reminder for anyone who wants to achieve something in life, he will have to exert and apply pressure to himself. He will have to apply pressure to himself. He will have to make a lot of juhud and a lot of mehnat. So for an example, you will find some person who has never missed his tahajjud namaz. So you might say, man, Kamal, you've never missed your tahajjud. I could never do that. But he is praying his tahajjud because he has had to put that effort. He has had to put that effort. So to achieve anything in life, physically you will have to toil. Physically you will have to toil. You will have to do lots of qurbani. For you to achieve that goal, that aim and goal, you can't be sitting on your sofa and you can't be, you know, enjoying life and at the same time thinking that, you know what, I'm going to, you know, achieve all of these things. It doesn't happen like that. You actually have to do a lot of mehnat. And sometimes, you know, this physical preparation is done to a Nabi, because a Nabi has no time to understand the format of Iman. Instantly they understand Iman very quickly. They understand Iman very quickly because they have no time. A mission has to be given. So they have to start the work immediately. Immediately, without a second. So if you look at Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he would be holding a stick like this, you know, like this. You know. Asa of Musa alayhi salam. This is a very nice, smooth asa anyway. But Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, his asa, known for his asa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, oh Musa, what's in your hands? Do you think Allah didn't know? What's in your hands? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah even knows what's in your right hand. Look at that. You know, conversation. He was also extremely beloved to Allah. He started his conversation, man, you know, my line and my communication. And he started a story with Allah Pak. All he had to say is a stick. He says, no, who am I talking to? You see, when you love someone, there is lazzat. What is there? Lazzat. You enjoy that taste of love, sweetness. So you're enjoying it. You know, when you get married, newly weds, and your wife is a bride, and mashallah, you are young and handsome, and mashallah, all the energy is inside you, and all you want to do is just talk to her, and all she wants to do is talk to you, and that's it, eh? Then after that, jab chadar purani ho jati hai, to it's okay, bhai, go for a holiday. Huh? But anyway, Allahu Akbar. Imagine Anbiya, their love for Allah is so great. And he says, you know what? Allah Pak, of course, it's a stake, atawakkaw alayha, wa hushu biha ala ghanami, waliya fiha, ma'aribu ukhra. They started saying, oh, it's a stick, I use it for this, I use it for that, I use it for this. He went on. Allah Pak said, bas bas. And he said to Musa alayhi salatu was salam, you know, throw your stick. He didn't even question Allah Pak. Throw your stick, bilkul. You see, a Nabi's iman, he is taught iman in seconds. There's no time to teach Musa alayhi salam. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. And now all of a sudden it's a snake moving, wiggling. We go to the zoo and we look at the snake and we say, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It's in a glass cage. Bari himmat se haath maarte. Open your eyes. If the snake moves, you'll move. If the snake was opened up in a room, to fir izar hamari dheeli ho jaye. Kabhi cobra a jaye room mein. Ha, ha, you show bravery, come. Nobody messes with a snake, eh? But because it's in the glass and all that, we become very brave. Wo lion bhi bichara andar hai na, wo andar so hum bhi lion ka masti karte hain, yun karte hain, ye wo lion bahir mein aa jaye to fir. Lekin hamare Arab brothers, take your pagri out. Mashallah, you know, people like dogs and cats and parrots as pets. They've got so much money, they keep lions and tigers as pets. What do they do? Lion and tigers. But be careful one day. Janwar janwar hota hai, iska thikana nahi hota hai, bhai kabhi iska dimag chala jayega na, fir tumhare kha bhi jaye, bhai kuch pata nahi. So this snake, huge snake, Musa alayhi salam is running. What do you expect him to do? And Allah Pak is saying, oh Musa, grab your stick. It's a snake. Look at the iman. In seconds his iman is going to be done. Nabi ke paas time nahi hota hai. Picks up the snake, transforms back into stick. So this physical exercise was done by this procedure. A Nabi, Huzur alayhi salam, went through what? The most powerful and strong creation of Allah, Jibreel Amin. You know the strength of Jibreel Amin. The power of Jibreel Amin. Allahu Akbar. In fact, when nations were destroyed, it was done by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Instantly. He is the one who lifted up that entire zone of Qawm Lut. He took these people who were doing wrong actions. He lifted them up and turned them upside down and came smack them down on the ground. Can you imagine that azab? That punishment. The Dead Sea today, what we know as. That entire zone. Scientifically they will tell you that that part of the earth has been uprooted, taken out, and it's upside down. The strength of Jibreel Amin, and for him to squeeze Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, and imagine how strong he must be. How strong he must be. So for Allah's Nabi now to get used to this idea that subhanallah, the celestial creation, that Noor and Wahi, that Jibreel Amin is going to be the Nabi and the messenger. Nabi in a sense, messenger, who is going to bring down the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this connection and this bonding becomes very, very strong between the two, because it will be from heart to heart that wahi will be given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that is why also Allah's Nabi went through this exercise, this a bit of difficulty. So to understand and to get connected, because to have received wahi is never easy. It is very, very difficult. And so alhamdulillah, this was actually the first time, the beginning of the ayats of the Quran that were being revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he said, ma ana biqari'in, to actually show the world that look, I am not educated. In case somebody was to think that I already know the words and it is man-made written or revelation has been written somewhere else, because a lot of people have this habit of allegations and accusations. So this is well documented to show the people that even when he said, Iqra, what was Allah's Nabi saying? I haven't got anything written. I haven't got the power. I haven't got this. So that humanity understands that it was only revelation and nothing but revelation that was revealed to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Just like a person who is going to become a Muslim, he doesn't know anything of Arabic, example, and then you say to him, La ilaha, he will say, La ilaha, illallah, illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is how revelation was revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in the next session, next week, we will continue from where we have left off and cover furthermore the wisdom, the first ayats that were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that also the different ways of how revelation was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dua kalle, Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.